And if you're demanding that other people do certain things for you in your life that only Jesus Christ can do, you are going to be sorely disappointed.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Morning. Well, I hope you have your notes. Pastor Blake contacted me and said, look, I'm doing this series. Could you do something in relationship to it? So the series is A Different Kind of Love. And this morning, I want to talk to you about true love and what it is. 1 Peter 2:9, you are not like that. In other words, you're not like the rest of the people in the world. As Christians, we're separate, we're different, aren't we? We're even a little weird, aren't we? Just look at the person next to you. Yeah, he got that right. Weird's it, huh? You are a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, when we talk that word love, it's going to be thrown a lot around a lot this week. When I say I love you, it has a lot of different meanings. It can be the romantic type of love. I love you. A little erotic, a little sexual between a man and a woman. That's love. It can be the affectionate type of love. I love the Green Bay Packers. By the way, they have three-peated, okay? Just so we got that clear. They won the NFL championship, and then they won Super Bowl I, and then Super Bowl II. We're good with that, aren't we? Okay. I love my dog. I don't have one, but that's why I love him. You know, I love my car. I love this. We throw that word around a lot with these things. And then there's brotherly love. A team playing in this year's Super Bowl is from the city of Philadelphia. A brotherly love. And as a kid, when you went to church, everybody called each other brother and sister because that's our relationship in Christ, a brotherly love. So you have these three types of love that are there that the world plays on. It promotes all your music, your movies, everything is about these types of love. But there's a fourth kind of love that is the foundation of all love. It's a love that if you get it right, these other three types of love will be fine. If you get it wrong, the other three types of love are really going to be messed up. In the Greek, it's called agape love. It's godly love. It's the basis of love for every Christian. It's the way we as Christians are to love. So, how is love defined? Let's look at some different ways. Let's look at how the world defines love. Here's what the world says. First of all, love is a feeling. You make me feel good. You give me goosebumps on my goosebumps. You know, now love produces feelings, but love is not principally a feeling because feelings come and go, don't they? One day you see that friend at work, you think, man, that's the best person in my life. They're such a friend to me. 2 days later, I can't stand the jerk. Right? You're married, you wake up one morning, you look over at that person next to you, and you think, I am the luckiest person in the world. And about 3 days later, you wake up and you look over at that person and you go, what was I thinking? Feelings, they come and go. You know, oh, I'm Snow White and I want to marry Prince Charming, but instead I got grumpy. You know, it's just, it's a feeling. That's what the world says, it's a feeling. Secondly, the world says you fall in love. It's uncontrollable. In other words, you tripped and fell in love. The problem with that is if you fell in love, you can fall out of love, can't you? And thus people come and say, I don't love them anymore. That's the way it works. It was an accident. You know, I can't help myself. I fall in love. No, you don't. Thirdly, I have to find the right person to love. Mr. or Mrs. Right. But that's all wrong, because I have to be the right person. And if things go wrong, then I didn't get the right person, did I? Yes. We say it this way: they're my soulmate. I just don't like that term. Now, if you're going to sign up for the marriage enrichment thing, I see that they say soulmate. But if you notice the little tags at the sides, it says in that soulmate, it's not found, but it's made. I agree with that. Soulmate, soul, mind, will, and emotion. So we think the like on God's word and God's ways. We are determined to follow him and to do what he says to do, no matter how we feel. But if you say soulmate, thinking, oh, this person is going to complete me and make me happy, got news for you. There isn't a person in this world who can complete you and make you happy. And if you're demanding that other people do certain things for you in your life that only Jesus Christ can do, you are going to be sorely disappointed. And yet that's what the world sells. That's what the world says. But here's what God says about love. Two things, very simple. First of all, he says, love is a matter of choice. You choose to love somebody. You choose not to. It's your call. God gave you a free will. He says, I love you. I hope you'll love me back. I love you. Now, understand this. Jesus never commands you to feel a certain way. He does command you to do things. And he commands you to love. Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So every day when you get up, you don't have to ask yourself about, am I going to love people today? Every day you wake up, you wear it throughout the day. Now, you see, some of you have problems getting dressed. I understand that. In our house, my wife will ask me on Friday, what are you wearing Sunday? You want my answer? Guy answer, I don't know. Saturday night, what are you wearing tomorrow? I don't know. Sunday morning, what are you wearing today? I don't know. I haven't walked into the closet yet. But for her, Thursday, we got outfits being pulled out. More than one. And I'll guarantee you something. Neither one of them are going to be the one she ends up with. It's just the way it goes. So God makes it very simple. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to choose to love how I tell you to love, and every day you make sure you make that choice. Secondly, love's a matter of conduct. It's not enough to say it. You have to do it. So if you love somebody, you do it. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. So I choose to act in a loving manner every moment of my life as a Christian. It's not an option. It's who I am. God is love, correct? And if I have him in my life, then I am to be the same, aren't I? And when we get in trouble is when we choose not to operate in God's love and we mess up the other three above that we mentioned earlier, don't we? So it's a matter of conduct. I act it. So what does that look like? How is it displayed? How do I notice that? Well, fortunately for us, the Bible gives us the definition of godly love. It tells us exactly what it's like. So we don't have to guess. We know. First of all, love is steady. It's steady. It's consistent. It's not off and on again. It is there all the time. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is, what's the word? Patient. Now, I know I'm talking to a group of very patient people. Yeah, right. We're not patient, are we? But love is patient. It is consistent. It gives time. It waits for other people. They have to make changes. We wait for that to happen. Well, how long do I have to wait? You're not being patient. Love keeps going no matter what. When love sets deadlines, it gets in trouble. When love gets impatient, you make bad decisions. Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. How many of you know that the person around you has faults? How many of you know that everybody in this room has faults? That means you and I have faults, don't we? So whenever we're in contact with another person, what has to happen? We have to be patient with their faults. Because you know what? In most cases, those faults are not going away. Yours don't. We can go home now. It's patient. Love is sympathetic. It's compassionate. It cares. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is kind. It's kind. It serves. It's caring. It speaks in kindness. It operates in kindness. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. All relationships demand forgiveness. And if you have a trouble forgiving, you're going to have a trouble loving. Because love keeps on, no matter when people's faults come out. And they will. And they do, don't they? And I have to understand that I have to be a forgiving person because I want people to forgive me. Well, I'll forgive them when they ask. It's not forgiveness. You give it whether they ask it or not. Well, how many times do I have to forgive? More than you want to. Well, what about if they keep doing the same thing over and over again? We do, don't we? That's our nature, isn't it? So, love is kind. It forgives. It goes on. It doesn't pretend nothing happened. It just chooses not to hold on to it and lets it go. Love is secure. Secure. It's stable. It doesn't go up and down. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. It's secure. It knows this, Romans 8:38. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's how we love. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and we're all ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. Your way isn't always the best way. And how many arguments and disagreements do we get in with our friends or our spouses because we want our way? And when you begin to be demanding and have to have your way, you have created problems in all of your relationships. And if you're controlling, you're not loving. You're insecure. If you're easily offended, you're not loving. you and I have to be willing to understand that God will love us, and I am secure in His love. Therefore, I can be secure in the love I give to others. Love isn't selfish. It isn't selfish. It's not irritable. It doesn't have to have its own way. 1 Corinthians 13:5, notice what it says. It's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Wow. Two guys were talking, and one said, you know, my wife and I got into a big fight, and she became historical. And the other guy said, don't you mean hysterical? No, historical. She brought up everything I'd ever done for the last several months. We keep records, don't we? Yeah, we do. Don't be irritable. Don't be angry. Don't keep score. That's forgiveness, isn't it? You let it go. Philippians 2:3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Well, if I do this, I'm going to be taken advantage of. Maybe, but so what? You're still called to do it, right? Love is the greatest risk you'll ever take in life. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It also has the greatest benefits. So I have to be willing to give it. Then love seeks the truth. It seeks the truth. It wants to know what's right. 1 Corinthians 13:6. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Now, this doesn't mean, hey, it's just the way I am, so deal with it. It means that I need to deal with the issues in my life and live my life according to the truth of God's word. And I rejoice when I live according to truth. And what is the world doing today? It's trying to redefine truth, isn't it? It's trying to tell you that you can define truth. But only God can define truth, because He's the only truth there is. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. 1 Peter 1:21, through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God, because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Live according to the truth of what God says. And then love never stops. Yeah. Doesn't there ever come a time when we say enough? No. It never ends. Never stops. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. Well, Pastor, I keep trusting God that He's going to change this person, and I'm about ready to give up on them. Hold it. You don't look for your other people to change. You look for you to change, and you trust God to deal with the other people. And you never give up on the fact that God is at work. And God can do what only He can do. You never stop loving. Galatians 6:9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So there you have it, the definition of love. Pretty high standard, isn't it? It's why so many people struggle with it and don't do it. But yet, as Christians, that's the kind of love we're called to live every day and every moment of our life. And when we live that kind of love, then the other areas of life all mesh together, work together for our benefit and for the benefit of others. And so we have to understand that we are called to love. That's how God loves us. Well, how am I going to do that? Glad you asked. How is God's love developed? How do I do it? Let me give you three things that you can do to help yourself love godly, to love godly, to love God, to love godly, to love like He loves, to love as only He can do. Number one, receive God's love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and God so loved that He gave. Love always demands giving, and God loved us. Now here's the thing, God will always love you no matter what you do, but He will not overlook it when you break His law. Because love isn't really very simple sometimes, because sometimes the kindest thing you can do for people is not let them get by with something. And God says, I love you. Will you love me in return? I'm going to give you that choice. You choose. And if you choose to love me, I'll receive it. I'll accept it. Well, how do I choose? It's very easy. You accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, and you invite Him into your life, and you commit your life to live for Him and not for yourself. Romans 5:8, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Wow. You see, we'll love somebody as long as they'll give us some guarantees, don't we? As long as they act like we want them to act. But He died for us when we didn't care and didn't want Him. Ephesians 3:18. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. I receive His love when I admit that I've broken His rules and believe that He died for me and rose again. And I choose now to live for Him and not for me. Boy, that's a key right there. I choose to love Him. He'll always love me, but I have to receive His love by loving Him in return. Secondly, then, I need to remain in His love. See, receiving God's love is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. Remember, you make the choice, and then you have to have the conduct, the actions. Remember? So that's what love does. I remain in that love. I keep doing that love. I refill myself in God's love every day. I have to remind myself every morning, God loves me. As many times throughout the day, God loves me. And I'm going to love Him. And I want to put on His love. John 15:9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I remain in His love when I obey Him. So throughout the day, when somebody does something that kind of gets at me, I got to remind myself, I put on love. And God, how would you respond to this? What would Jesus do? How can I be loving here? That's my choice. And so I remain in His love throughout the day. And when the enemy comes in and tells me God doesn't love me, I call him what he is. He's a liar. And yes, he does. And I love him. I've made that choice. I'm going to keep true to that choice that I've made. And now it gets a little tough, the third one. Relay God's love to others. Okay, you mean it's not enough that God and I got this thing going and we're good? I can love God. I can't love, it's the people I struggle with, right? It's these jerks that I live with. It's these people around me that just don't understand and don't get it. Why can't everybody be more like me? And through my life, I want to show God's love to others. John 13:34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus was asked one day, what's the greatest commandment? His response, love God. Seconds like it, love others. So the world tries to sell us a bill of goods of this is what love is like. The music we listen to, the movies you watch, all of those things, they define love as it's either the romantic thing or it's the thing for I have for certain items in my life and certain possessions that I like, or it's other people that do for me what I want them to do. And that's the way love is. But there's a deeper way for us Christians. We're not like the rest of the world. True love says, I will love people like God loves people, and I will love God with all of my heart and all of my soul. And that looks funny to the world, but we're different, aren't we? We're not like everybody else. Well, Pastor, I read this comment this week. If we think that perhaps love's not worth the sorrow and the pain, then we're more pagan than we are Christian. God loves you. Will you love him? And if you love him, will you love others? Maybe you're here today and you need to receive him. That's where you need to start. You need to accept him into your life and make the choice to love God with all that you are and then begin to live like it there and now. Maybe you've received him, but your conduct isn't really backing it up all the time and you need to work on that part of it. Maybe you're here and you've received him and you're trying to act like him, but you struggle with your relationship with people and you need to work on that loving people part. Whatever it might be, we have the description and definition of love. Will we do it? When I accept Christ into my life, I am obligated to love as he loved. Let's pray. Lord, today, you've given us a commandment. It's pretty bold. It's very obvious. There's no question about it. We are called to love as you love. We can't do that without your love. We can't be what we need to be without loving you first. And if we will love you with all that we have, the rest of life will fall into place, and I will be the beneficiary of it. So today, would you help each one of us just to take a moment before we leave to ask you to help us to love like you. Help us. We're not like the rest of the world. We have a different standard. So Lord, as we go this week to live in a week that's going to be inundated with romantic love, let us not forget the true love that only God can give to us. And let us love him as he loves us, we pray. In thy name, amen.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.